If you're looking for trouble, belly up to the bar, you're in the right place. This is the baddest biker bar in the investment world, The Danger Zone. Welcome to The Danger Zone on Money Life. This is where we get the latest take from the experts at New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. They do it by bringing together discounted cash flow analysis and forensic accounting. They dig in at the footnotes level and they work their way up. And what they find on that journey is that people who go the other way from the top down, they often get a skin-deep kind of analysis that is misleading. If it's misleading and it works in your favor, well, that would make something attractive. If it works against you, that makes something dangerous. Learn more about how it works by going to newconstructs.com. David Trainer is founder and president at New Constructs. David, always great to have you here on Money Life.
It is great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
The weak sisters in the AI arms race.
Danger, danger.
The weak sisters in the AI arms race. Well, that's an...
Is that too non-PC?
No. I don't think so. I don't think so. The funny side was that I know that it talks about... that this is about cash flow. But I love the fact that every now and again in New Constructs reports, you will talk about cash flow and you'll talk about cash flowers. You're talking about cash flows, but I can't help myself from reading that as flowers. I'm like, cash flowers, which is it's a very different thing. So Is this about cash flows? And that's how are we defining weak sisters and who fits that definition?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. I was experimenting with titles and I noticed when I wrote cash flowers, it looked like cash flowers. And I'm like, we got to go with something better. And I thought maybe weak sisters was potentially inappropriate, but no, it's all about who can sustain the spend, Chuck. Cause you know, we know there's an enormous amount of capital, something like $380 billion just this year among some of the big players in CapEx for AI. That's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of money. And some companies can afford it and some companies can't. And as it appears that this is going to be a rather long journey in terms of spend before they start reaping huge returns, you have to ask yourself, who's going to be able to stay in the fight? And it's the companies that are making enough money to afford this huge spend that are going to survive. And the companies that aren't making that much money that I think won't survive. Because one of the things I think that people are missing here is that this spend is only in its first stage. There's a second stage. Right now, they're spending on infrastructure, hardware, compute, power. You know what they haven't spent money on? Data. Data that actually drives real insights out of AI, right? What are we getting from AI? Glorified junior analyst, glorified secretarial help. We can't really trust it to give us good answers. Guess what? When experts, real professionals, use a system, they only use it if they can trust the outputs, Chuck. I mean, it's like it's worth a zero real fast. If you ask an AI, hey, you know, ask an AI a financial question about, you know, like what's the cash flow of these companies? You get the wrong answer, you're ditching that thing like it was a diseased apple. You know, you can't use it because it's more work to ask something and figure out that the answer is wrong than it is to go get the right answer. And people, you know, these professionals are used to going and get the right answer. So the only way you're going to supplant them going and getting the right answers is if you can give them the right answer cheaper. And it's not cheaper to find out that something's wrong and then go look for it. So for us, and you know, look, I think you've heard me say this for a long time, success in AI is going to be all about the data, all about the data. These guys are spending a lot now on infrastructure. Infrastructure is easy. You know, you build the power plant, you build the data center, you pay for compute, you buy chips. Data is hard, which is why they've been putting it off. So I think that, you know, the weak sisters are the ones that just don't have the cash flows to keep spending up at this rate.
Well, let's dig into that because you talked about how if they can't come up with things, you discard them like a diseased apple. But Apple is not necessarily suffering from this disease. I can't imagine that Apple with its cash flow has been able to become a problem, but help us understand who is a problem and do confirm for me that I'm right, that Apple is not diseased in this way.
No. So free cash flow over the trailing 12 months for Apple, Google, and Microsoft, all decidedly positive. Like, they can afford the spend. Now, Apple's not spending yet, so that's a little different, but they generate huge, huge amounts of cash flow. We're not worried about them. Like, they generate even more than Google and Microsoft, and Google and Microsoft spent plenty, and they're still cash flow profitable. The company's losing money, big money. Amazon, Meta, Oracle, they all burned, you know, 20, 30 billion plus. In the case of Oracle, closer to 60, 70 billion. And so that's not sustainable. Those guys never made that much cash flow. Amazon, for example, has been free cash flow negative for over, you know, for most of the last 10 years. People don't realize it. All that AWS spent a lot of money. All that retail and technology spent a lot of money on that. That's why you see the shares outstanding and their balance sheet growing and the debt growing. They've had to rely on external financing. Now the spending is going to only get worse. Meta, you know, it's profitable, but not to the scale of Google, Microsoft, and Apple. So this big AI spend, it's putting their finances in the tank. And then Oracle, same thing, but worse.
Does that mean that those stocks, in this case, Amazon, Oracle, Meta, are truly in the danger zone, as in we're expecting significant drops? Like, how do we translate this to the other numbers where you're always saying, you know, here's the price and here's what would have to happen? Are they overpriced given what can happen here, and how much would they be overpriced, or can you not determine that?
Yeah. So Amazon is a neutral rated stock. So this is one of those situations where I'm gonna tweak the definition of what's in the danger zone a bit here, because typically, Chuck, we're really hammering on companies that have no profits and have had historically just bad trends and profits. Like, it's just kind of a huge disconnect between profitability and valuation. The Amazon business has been relatively healthy. Now, I'll say the free cash flow is negative, but the return on invested capital is pretty high. So what that means is that Amazon's got a decent business, but they're spending like crazy to keep that all the time. They have always had to really invest a lot in the business in order to get to even where they are. So I'm tweaking the danger zone methodology right now to say that, to recognize that we're in a market where valuations have become extended. I think everyone agrees that in a lot of places. And these are danger zone stocks, because I think that their valuations have gotten so high that despite the fact that they've got decent underlying economics, they are at big time risk of getting hammered here. So Amazon, neutral rating. Meta is an unattractive rating. So that's equivalent of a dangerous. The economics of their business not as strong. The valuation is extended. And then for Oracle, these guys have been looking a bit dangerous for a while, just because the valuation has really just, really over the last year has really kind of, this was on a focus list at one point. We liked it, but it just got too much. It was a great pick for us for a while, but it's gotten too expensive. And the economics of this business have declined. They've been doing a lot of acquisitions. They've been spending, and I think what we're really seeing here with these three stocks, I'm going to put them in two buckets. Meta is sort of a newcomer. They're making crazy money. It's great. They're profitable, but they're not profitable enough to spend like the big boys. Amazon and Oracle, great businesses, but they've had to spend as a percentage of their overall profits way more than the winners we mentioned before. And so they have not really attained the level of profitability that the Apples and Googles and Microsoft have to position themselves to continue sort of this longer term technological race. What I'm saying is that AI is just the next leg in a marathon of spending for these superpowers to maintain superpower status. And as we sort of see in a lot of parts of this world, power tends to concentrate, because the powerful use that power, especially in business. They use that cash flow to buy influence, to buy market share in the form of lower margins that they know their competitors can't afford. And that's the race, right? That's the capitalist race. It's like, I'm going to work my tail off to beat out every one of my competitors until I beat them into submission and I take their market share. And in a world where we've seen the regulators really kind of fade into black, and we've, the trust busters of the 70s, the 80s, we haven't seen those guys in a while. And so we've seen markets just kind of become more and more concentrated. And what we're seeing is what we're, you know, in the old days, we'd still be super profitable companies like Oracle, Oracle, Meta, and Amazon. But they too, even they too, I think are starting to lose out in this sort of long-term technological arms race.
And very quickly, since we talked about six companies here, we talked about Apple, Alphabet, Microsoft, and they had the cash flow. Are they attractive at this point, or does the not quite work that way, maybe because their valuations are extended, et cetera?
Yeah, no, their valuations are extended, and potentially they're still extended. Like they get, they're neutral or unattractive as well. It's truly a valuation call with not as much risk because the cash flows aren't really turning. Like what I'm seeing in our models for Amazon, Meta, and Oracle is really the cash flow. A lot of times you see the free cash flow will turn before the economic earnings and return on capital can turn. And so, yeah, their valuation risk is higher.
But again, they're not the ones who are in the danger zone here. They're the ones who are the examples of why you need the cash flow, et cetera. It's Amazon, Meta, and Oracle. They're the ones who fit the description as those companies who have to keep up in the AI arms race, or they might be headed for trouble. David, great stuff as always. See you next week.
See you next week, Chuck. Good to be with you.
David Trainer is founder and president at New Constructs. Go to newconstructs.com for more information to see the most attractive and most dangerous stocks and more. And speaking of more, there's more to go on today's show. Up next, it's market call time. Mark Travis, president and chief executive officer at the Intrepid Capital Funds. He will be here when we come back talking stocks in a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.